concocted to destroy, God's going to turn around and make it for his good. Amen. Everybody stand up. Stand up if you can. I want you to put your hands this way. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we know, God, that you've got the power and the anointing. We know, God, you've got everything we need, Lord, right now, Father. Lord, Stephen needs a touch in his body. Lord, he needs to have you touch his lungs, touch his heart. Let him feel your power and your anointing right where he's laying in that ICU right now. Let him know, God, that your hand is upon him, Lord. Strengthen him, anoint him, let the doctors be amazed. And Father, I thank you for it. And Lord, touch Frankie too right now, Lord. Touch them all, God. They need a special touch. You're able, you're more than able to do that, Lord. And as you touch Richard and Merle right now, whatever it is they're needing, God, and there are very many needs, God, you're going to take care of that in the name of Jesus. And whatever and whoever's needing that touch in their body right now, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I ask you to touch, Lord. Minister mightily. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for it. God, you're an amazing God. You're a powerful God. And we know, God, that you're in total, total, absolute control. In the name of Jesus, minister to each and every need right now, God. We claim it. We declare it. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing right now. Come on, children. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come on now. Come on. God, you've got this. God, you've got it. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Get your Bibles out. This is the last week for this one. Amen. Because I had so many parts to it. I hated to do it with so many parts at one time. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1, stand for the reading of the word. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. There you go. Ooh, look at that thing. Don't you wish, look. How many wish in your life you could just go back to some things you had done and do this? Look. Start off with a blank slate. Amen. Wouldn't it be cool? That's fun. Watch this. I messed up. I gave it to God. He said, I'm not even going to heal you. I'm going to let you do it over again. Blank slate. That's how our sin is. Amen. When we go to Jesus, that's what he does. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort in love, if there be any fellowship in the Spirit, is this mic on? I can't tell. I'm so big mouth, I can't.
It's doing fine.
Check, 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 check. Okay. All right. Fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Wow. That right there will preach all by itself. That means do nothing out of anger or out of trying to get somebody back or trying to keep somebody from going forward and not for vainglory, meaning now what I'm doing is something to promote myself. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but let every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I will stop there for just a second. In order for Jesus, number one, to redeem us, he had to become like us. Number two, in order for Jesus to die, he had to become a man because Jesus the Christ in heaven cannot be killed. He cannot die, so he had to become a man. So God maneuvered what he was and maneuvered where he was at in order that he could do the job he needed to do. It just hit me very strongly. Some of y'all are wondering why you're going through what you're going through and why has God allowed you to be where you're at and doing what you're doing and going through what you're going through. God conditioned you specifically for your calling, and you don't even sometimes even recognize it. He's conditioned you. He's put you in a special place, and you may be going through something and think that it's tearing you down. It's not tearing you down. Actually, it's building God up. Amen? Because God's going to get all the glory. Look at somebody and say, God's going to get all the glory. God's going to get all the glory. Amen. And wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, y'all see every knee, shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, even Satan's going to bow. And that every tongue, y'all say every tongue, even Satan, is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well on the throne. Father, we trust you totally to minister to us completely, to let us know exactly what we need to be doing for you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated if you can. If you can't, keep on standing. It won't bother me. A burglar decided to burgle the safe in a store. He's going to rob it, the safe. So on the safe door, he was very pleased to find a note saying, please don't use dynamite. This safe is not locked. Just turn the knob. He did so. Instantly, a heavy sandbag fell on him. The entire premises were floodlighted, and alarms started clanging. As the police carried him out on a stretcher, he was heard moaning, you can't trust anybody anymore. That's how Satan does us. Amen. That's how he does us. Amen. We're thinking we're getting something for free, and we better watch out because it's going to hit us and hit us hard. Building a better you, and I'm not even sure where we're going. Well, next week we got Greg Sabbath. Greg Sabbath. So next Sunday morning, Greg Sabbath's going to be here. Get people all you can. This is one of our missionaries, over here in the United States. He's doing work to bring the Jews into the kingdom. Amen. God says when you look out for the Jews, you're looking out for him. He loves it. He takes care of us and we take care of his business. Remember this, if we'll take care of God's business, he'll take care of ours. Amen. Or 2 weeks. In the next week, in next week, the 20th. Well, you know what? He's late. Wow. Okay, Greg Sample was coming next week, but he's late. He's coming on the 27th. Thank y'all for reminding me because I was sitting here, setting my watch, ready to go. Amen. So, next Sunday, thank y'all for reminding me. It's not next week, it's the week after. Amen. Okay, how many, again, you want to build a better you in 2019? Again, I'm just going to briefly just gonna run through it, and then we're going to hit the last two, and the last two I'm going to hit probably hardest yet. But it's very important that we pay attention and remember, I can't do a thing. If I'm having problems in my marriage, I can't do a thing about my spouse. The only person I can work on is who? If I'm having a problem in a relationship, the only person I can actually work on is? If I have a problem with my job, the only person I can work on is? And if I want a better 2019, I don't need to be looking across the aisle, looking across the seat in my car. I need to be looking at, amen. So here we go. Again, of course, just quickly, how many can look back over the last year and say, I sure wish things would be better? Amen. Remember this, we all have a part to play. It's what we pay attention to, what you see, our attitude, what you think about, and how you think about what you see in our actions, how we respond. Now, to be a better person, we just read this, and I'm going to get through this quickly. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That word mind means attitude. You know, how many here know somebody's got an attitude? Actually, everybody you know has an attitude. You just don't see it until they really show it. Amen? Did you know everybody in here's got an attitude, whether it's good or bad or ugly? Everybody's got an attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Be as constant, you as personal. He was a servant. He didn't mind being a servant. He didn't mind taking care of other people's needs. Honestly, if you have a problem, you know, being a servant, then you need to go talk to God because that's what he does above everything. And if you want to see something happen this year, quit looking for somebody to blame and start looking in the mirror and take some responsibility. You know, last night, anybody see my car? The back end's got a big old hole in it. I'll tell you, go ahead and tell you right now, so everybody know, so you don't have to ask. I was in Benson. I was actually in Lillington. You know, actually, the Emmaus last night was at the end of the world and turned left. It took about 2.5 hours coming back because I had to stop and wreck my car. took everybody about 2 hours and 15 minutes, but I had to take 15 minutes to wreck the car. So I stopped at a gas station in Benson, and I, to kid you not, there was a, from the gas pump to the place where you pulled up was about from here to that light right there. So it was so small. I got in there. I put some oil in my car. I got out. Somebody was at the gas pump. They blocked me in. So I go next door, get some coffee. I come back, and the guy finally moves. So I'm backing up. And as I'm backing up, I don't see anything in my rearview mirror. I don't see anything. Somebody pulls out in front of me. So I backed up a little bit more, and I ran into the stationary hard plastic trash can hooked to the gas pumps. I'm glad it hit the gas pump. Amen. Because this morning I'll be singing, "Come on, baby, light my fire." And so I get out the car and I look, and there's that hole. I go in and tell the people, come out and look, and they said, "Oh, people do that all the time." Really? Did you ever consider changing the way you park? Put your parking lines if people do it all the time. Hey, man, I reckon they're in cahoots with the insurance company. I don't know. But anyway, I was sitting there, and I could have blamed that person that pulled out in front of me. I could have blamed that person that blocked me in. I could have blamed the people that didn't know how to put the parking up there. But ultimately, whose fault was it? Whose foot was on the accelerator? At least I know I'm not a dummy, because any dummy would know there was a trash can behind me. All right. So here we go. Quit trying to find somebody to blame and start taking responsibility. Here it is. Here's the things that we were talking about. Ready? Number one, the very first week, think better thoughts. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Think better. You want to be a better you? You got to think better. Amen. You can't, remember, we talked about it. You can't be Satan's garbage dump. You got to be God's vessel. Amen. Then hear better sounds. So faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the good news of Christ. Here we go. We're getting right along now. You got to see better sights. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then we got to learn how to use our mouth in the right position, right? Watch this. Speak better words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruits thereof. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Sometimes you just got to keep at it. The other night it was just me and Doug at Krispy Kreme, and I have an ongoing thing with Jorge. The guys that are go with me, you know what I'm talking about. Jorge sometimes looks at me like, "How you doing, brother?" And other times he looks at me like, and so Thursday night we're sitting there eating our donuts, and Doug does like this, and Jorge goes, and then I go, and he goes. And you know me, I'm not going to leave that alone, right? So he kept looking up, and I'd wave. He goes, "Wave again." He goes. Doug says, "He ain't going to wave back." I said, "Yes, he is." I was getting ready to go talk to him, actually. And I did it one more time, and Jorge looked at me. I decided I was not gonna give in to how he was acting. Amen. So here we go. Here it goes. Oh, look at that. Isn't that cool? That is such an awesome picture right there. That's worth a million words right there. Not a thousand words, a million words. That's what Christ did to me. He pulled me up out of a pit. And now my job is to pull others up out of the pit. Amen. That's what your job is. So watch this. If you want to become a better you, perform better deeds. I love this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I thought about that. I was on the way to Emmaus. I had a 2.5 hour drive. I was thinking about today's sermon and was taking mental notes and, of course, speaking in my phone, you know, getting some notes. But and whatsoever you do, here it goes. Let's pull down the plow. Y'all ready to pull down the plow? How many is willing to help someone that's a fellow Christian? How many is willing to help someone who may not be a Christian, but at least they act pretty decent? How many are willing to help someone that's actually swinging at you? We like to categorize what we do. I'll be good in this situation, but I'm not going to be good in that situation. I'll be good with these people, but I'll be good with those people. And we get it all figured out in our heads how we're going to get all this going, right? So as we get it all figured out how we're going to do it. So God takes care of all this with us. And Paul's talking, and he says, and whatsoever you do, just life. Whatever you do. You know, I can be excited when I feel like I'm winning, but I can't be excited when I feel like I'm losing. I can be excited when I feel like I'm coming to the end of the day. At the beginning of the day, I don't know if I can necessarily be excited. You know, I just don't understand that God says life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. In order for us to show people Christ, they do not care how many verses you can quote. They don't care how pretty you can sing. If you're going to show somebody Christ, they have to see Christ in you. How often? 24/7. That's sometimes the hardest thing in our life to do, is to show Christ 24/7. I remember one day I was working on this piece of equipment at Procter & Gamble, and actually it was supposed to have had an operator. It was supposed to have a driver, an operator, and one person making sure the machine was running right and keeping all the computers going and keeping all the robots going. And this day, and they did it quite often, this day they were short on people. So my job was supposed to be keeping the robots and the computers running, but my job that day was keeping the robots and the computers running and keeping the machine running, operating. And I was also driving a truck, taking down these unit loads, sometimes 48 and sometimes 60 cases at a time that were wrapped in a unit load and wrapped up in stretch wrap and then taking it and even driving in a rail car. So I'm doing the work of three people, and I've got to work on this piece of equipment. So I'm trying to keep this piece of equipment operating. So I needed somebody to operate while I did the operation, and I needed somebody to drive so they could pull the stuff out of the way so I could operate on the machine while the operator kept things going, while the driver kept things moving. And nothing, I was doing all by myself. And so I'd move a unit load out of the way, and I'd throw it over here, and I'd get back to the machine. I'm trying to work on it, pulled out my meter, and I'm trying to get my meter, and I'm trying to check stuff, but I can't check stuff because like, I have to keep operating the machine. So I'm operating the machine, and this machine is two stories high. I'm going back and forth. I'm running up and running down and then climbing up on the floor underneath, and I'm all this stuff. And finally, I called my boss man, the T4, the guy who was in charge of the whole plant or whole team. And I said, man, I don't know what you planned today, but you need to send two people down here because I cannot fix this machine and operate it and drive too. I can't do three jobs at once. He said, okay. And another 30 minutes went by, and it's piling up, and I'm trying to work on this machine. And I can't work on this machine because all the stuff's in the way, and I'm having to operate, and I'm having to drive. And then another 30 minutes went by, and after a while, it was like 2 hours had gone by. The stuff's everywhere. I'm trying to get this taken care of. Somebody's coming by complaining because they haven't got the product, and I can't do all this. And I kept asking for help, and he kept saying he was, but he never did. I got on my lift truck, and I drove to where I could find him. I happened to find him up at the back of the offices, and he's sitting there talking to another T4 and the manager. And I walked up, and I said, I don't know what you're doing, But I don't call it leading. I don't call it even driving this team, because I've asked for help for 2 hours. We're getting so far behind. I really need some help. If you don't mind, if you can find your way clear, get me some help out there. And I mean, get me some out there now. And I drove off. That's about how I went about it. And I drove off. And as I drove off, I said, well, that didn't look very Christ-like. That looked kind of mean. And so a few minutes, here come the people, and then I can work on the machine. And after I got the machine running, I went back to him and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I know you lost your respect when I went up there and told you what I told you. You know what he told me? He said, lost my respect. He said, I gained more respect. I said, how'd you gain more respect? He said, other guys would come up and cussed me. They would have jumped off their truck and thrown a temper tantrum. They would have done all kinds of things. They'd have walked out. He said, but you come up and told me your problem, and you told me what you needed, and you had some life in it. He said, but you did not beat me up. You didn't beat anybody else up. He said, you handled the situation, and you left, and I realized the severity of the problem, and I took care of my end, and you took care of your end. And that stuck in my head year after year after year. This probably happened in the early 80s, and it just stuck in my head that guy who was another minister told me, said, you didn't ruin it. You helped it, because you showed somebody how to act under pressure and to act under that pain. And so, again, whatever you do in life, those unit loads are never going to go to church with me. I'm still a pastor. Those unit loads never go to church with me. They would never, none of those people that I saw would ever drive 50 miles, 100 miles to go to the church. I mean, all this stuff was going on. But again, later on, then it hit me. Whatever you do, on your job, with your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, whatever. Somebody say whatever. Whatsoever. Not whatever. Whatsoever. Amen. Yeah, whatever is like this. Whatever. All right. Do it heartily. That's the life within you. Give it all you got. Again, when it comes to working for God, when it comes to working at your job, when it comes to working with your family, do you actually give it all you got? Remember I told you when I was a coach, I tell those guys, leave it all on the field, every bit on the field. When you come off that field, I don't want you to tell me that you got anything left, because it's important. In order to win games, you got to give it all you got while you're on that floor, or while you're in that field, or you're on that diamond. You got to give it all you got. Let me ask you a question. Do you give it all you got? Or just depending on what it is, depends on how much effort you put in it. Whatever, soever you do, give it all you got. Leave it on the field. You see, if you do it on your job, I can promise you promotion will come. If you do it with your family, I promise you that they'll notice it eventually. If you do it in the church and doing it with God's work, guess what? He's watching. He's going to take care of business. So whatsoever you do, do it heartily, and don't do it as unto me or to somebody else in here. Do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because he's the life giver. Why do I want to do it for somebody else? I'm going to do it for the Lord. You know, there's been a many time I do something and I'll go, and Bethany was great for this. Especially, we'd stop at a gas station, somebody come up wanting something, want money for something, I go, I'm not giving you money for this, but I will take you in and feed you. And I take them in and say, get whatever you want, and you want hot, you want cold, get whatever you want, and I'll feed you. And I'll come back in the car, and Bethany would say, they saw you, Dad. They saw you coming. And I'd tell Bethany, no, that was an angel that I blessed unaware. And she said, yeah, Dad, they saw your white hair. Thought you were Moses. And I said, okay, girl, that's your story. Mine is, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Because if you do it unto man, no matter what, listen carefully, no matter what, if you do everything unto man versus unto God, man is life takers. They'll drain you. They'll drain you. Even if they don't mean to, and even if they're not, even if they pitch in, there's a difference when you do it unto God versus unto them. Because unto God now, I have an unlimited resource. I have unlimited potential as I'm doing it under God. If I'm doing it under man, then I've got limits, and I've lost my potential. So, watch this. Here it goes. Matthew 25 and 40, it says, the king will answer, I can guarantee this truth. Whatever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. I just want to read that again. The king will answer them, I guarantee this truth. Whatever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. I was in pit detention Thursday night, and I hear this guy up in the very, this is amazing how God worked, because first off, I'm getting ready to load up my cart. I'm getting ready to go carry some books to these guys, and the Lord speaks to me and says, I need you. It's awesome. I need you to get, and I have my what I call my counseling first aid kit. It's in my car. I carry it in the pit detention center with me, and it's got all stuff that I can, just some stuff that I can go give for whatever the main reason is. And so I heard the Spirit say, get out two copies, and there was like three or four pages each of stuff on the grieving cycle. Carry it with you. I said, okay, Lord. I kind of hid it in the other books so nobody'd see it and want it. I knew God had somebody specifically that was for. And I went in the very first block, D1, and I go into D1, and the very first two guys I go to, side by side, one lost his son and one lost his daughter. Side by side. You tell me, number one, God weren't helping them because they were side by side. They could minister to each other. But also, the Lord had told me before we got there, take two because you're going to need it. And I gave it right to those guys. And I backed up and I heard somebody sound like I thought was a demon right to start with. I looked up. And I said, what is that? And one of the guys says, he's Russian. He can't speak English. He said, you might as well leave him alone. I said, I'm not going to leave him alone. So I walked up there and I said, well, can he read any English? He said, he can read a little English. He can talk a little English, but that's about it. So I walked up and I got in front of him and I said, this is funny because he said, hey. I said, you speak English? He goes, well. I said, I don't speak Russian. He goes, well. And then I said, hey, dude, what's your name? And he said, He goes, oh, I'm Leo. I don't know whether it was his sign or his name. I couldn't figure that out. And I said, I'm David. He goes, David. I said, yeah, I'm David. You're Leo. He said, I'm Leo. And I said, you want to see some of this stuff? And he said, yeah. And so I handed it to him. He went, I know Reed. And I went, I've got nothing in Russian up here. And so I said, well, here, you look at it and what you can read whatever you can. And I said, do you want to pray? He said, oh. I said, he went. And I went. He goes, oh, gosh. He said, talk to gosh. I said, yeah, you want to talk to gosh? And he went. And I said, slow down, Leo. And I got a chance to pray with the guy. It was really, really kind of awesome. But that night was just so eye-opening because, again, number one, I could have not listened to the Spirit talking to me. And the very first two people I met who both lost their children, I would not have had that grieving cycle stuff. And then talking to that Russian, he actually, when I left him, had tears in his eyes because somebody took time to talk to him, even though it was hard to understand him. Whatever you do, look, no matter how unimportant they seem. Later on, I told somebody, I seen a Russian guy, and they said, really? I said, yeah. I said, he was really a nice guy, and they said, well, then why was he locked up? Okay. So watch this now. Get ready. There's so many people in this world, their deeds are negative. They're selfish. Motivated by self, dishonest, they're displeasing to God. And you know what I discovered a long time ago? So I have to keep myself in check. I keep myself in check all the time because You can't lift somebody else up if you're down too. Matter of fact, a drowning man cannot save a drowning man. Even if I'm not feeling good, I can still be up. Even if I'm hurting, I can still be up. You know, because I know in order for me to lift somebody up or to pull them up, I need to be up so I can pull them up. So remember, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Give it all you got as unto the Lord. If you want 2019 or 2019 to be an awesome, awesome year. Okay, and one more, and then we're closing. Anybody want to pick one of those? You can make a difference. Who wants to make a difference? I will. Look. Attend better places. I was glad when it said, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, when Satan will keep you out of church, but he won't keep you out of Walmart. He'll keep you out of church, but he won't keep you out of Piggly Wiggly. He'll keep away from Christians, but he won't keep away from those that are non-Christian. He loves to do that because he knows if he gets you by yourself, he can work on you. He can play on your mind. He can play on your attitude. He can play on it all. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, listen carefully. This is a safe place. You know, last night at the Emmaus gathering, and when I got to communion, I said a few words, and all I could think of, again, I had that on my wrist right here, said, God's got this. Of course, I gave it away, so I don't have it on right now. I've got it's Team Bethany. But it was Team Bethany, God's got this. And just kept, everybody kept saying, God's got this, God's got this. And I said, you want a good church service tomorrow? Just realize God's got this. You want the preacher to preach better? Realize God's got this, and you bring some fire with you. If you want the choir to do better, bring some fire with you. If you want things to be better tomorrow, you realize God's got this, and you bring some fire with you. But let me tell you something. This is a safe place. And if I was Satan, I would keep everybody I could out of the safe place. I would do everything within my power to keep them from the safe place and to take them somewhere where I can hurt them, get their mind messed up, work on their thoughts. So watch this. God has a plan for us. Matter of fact, I even used this Thursday night. I was walking up, as I was walking up into the detention center, the Lord gave it to me. I use this at the detention center too. God has a plan. Amen. He says here, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even as you see the day approaching. When it says forsake not, it means that don't turn away from gathering together. That word is actually where we get the word synagogue. The temple was where the sacrifices were made, but the synagogue is where you learn about the sacrifice and you learn about all this stuff and you learn about what God was doing. So this is our synagogue. This is our church, the church itself. The called out ones. And so here we are, we're learning about stuff. And if they can keep you out of here, then guess what? He's already taken away your surrender. Instead of surrendering to God, you surrender to whatever else is out there. I don't want to surrender to whatever else is out there. I want to surrender to God. And so, watch this. God has a plan. Y'all say this, God's got a plan. Now say this, it may not be my plan. But it's a good plan, and it'll work. So, safety, he has a good plan. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But a multitude of counselors, there is safety. When you get in a church, some of your counselors may even be kids. Some of your counselors may be the old, young, whatever. But when you get into the church, all of a sudden you begin to hear something because you're with people of faith. And people that are reaching out for God and people that are trying to understand what God's got and trying to teach us through their lives and through their actions. So this is a safe place. This is a good place. And I've learned a lot from all of y'all all the time. I think about all the stuff and I think about the people that have died lately. I think about all the stuff I learned from them. And now I'm their extension as I'm what I've learned from them as I'm carrying on what they did. So first, we got to surrender. God has a plan. We have to realize it's a good plan. And also know that it's a powerful plan because the Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. Wow. That's pretty awesome, just one will chase 1,000. That's awesome. Anybody that have chased 1,000 lately or been chasing 1,000? Chase 1,000. And then when you get the synergy of another person with you at church, you put 10,000 to flight. Wow. 10 times stronger when you hook up with somebody else. And that's why church is so important, because synergy is here. We learn. We've got counsel here. We've got safety here. And we learn here, and we're strong here together. So again, God's got this. Amen. Somebody say God's got this. So here it is. One more, and I'm cutting it out right here. Christians hurt their influence when they go to the wrong places in search of the wrong things. I'm not just talking about the pool halls and the bars. When you get your advice on how to handle your Christian life from somebody that has never served God, you've gone to the wrong place for the wrong thing. When somebody tells you how to handle your marriage and never been married, do they know what they're talking about? When somebody tells you how to raise your kids and they've never had kids, do they really know what they're talking about? Other than book knowledge? Then why do we trust people that have nothing to do with God, never read the Bible? My daddy used to always tickle me. My daddy would say, when something was going on or somebody was talking about something, or my brothers were talking about something, we're sitting down at a table and somebody starts talking about God and talking about church, and my daddy said, I'll tell you what I'd do. And I get a kick. I said, go ahead, daddy. Tell me what you'd do. He'd go, I'd go in there and I'd tell them this and I'd do this and I'd do that and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, really, how long have you been ministering? He goes, well, I just know. I said, how long you been serving God? He said, well, I just know. I said, okay, Dad, I'll do it your way. He says, that's how you do it. I said, yeah, right. Christians hurt their influence when they go to the wrong places in search of the wrong things. God's called us to be a positive Christian, to attend church faithfully, to be a part of what's going on here and out there in the world, and to make a positive difference. If you go with God, He will go with you. If you take care of His business, He'll take care of yours. And here's how we close it for the last few weeks. I'm going to do it again. DC, BJ, y'all get ready. When we build a better you, we build a better marriage, we build a better family, we build a better church, we build a better workplace. Do you want to make a difference in 2019? Do you want this to be a different year? You got to trust God to do something special. You got to trust Him. Y'all guys, come up here. Everybody, let's stand. I was thinking about that. Whatever you do, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. And I was thinking about yesterday. Got up yesterday morning. And honestly, to be totally honest with you, I was still tired from Thursday night being at the prison. And then Friday, I can't remember exactly what I was taking care of, but I was taking care of something Friday, and I was really tired. I got up Saturday morning, and I had to leave at 8:30 to drive almost two and a half hours to get to a meeting. And right to start with, I said, Lord, help me adjust my attitude. And I said, thank you for the privilege of being able to go to this meeting. And so I got there, and we had a good time. And then we started in one meeting, and we went to another meeting, and then we stopped and had some supper. And I pulled out my computer because we had about 30 minutes to wait. And I started working on my sermon. And then walked two people. I'm glad they did, because I started slobbering over my board, a keyboard, because I'd already started going to sleep. I woke up, and about that time, here come Don and Don. Here come Wayne and Jeannie. And they sat down beside us, and I said, this is so good. Y'all help wake me up. And Jeannie said, did you really slobber on your board? I said, and then when we got through, by the time I got home, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock, but I was keeping up with Stephen. And they said, we're moving from the emergency room to intensive care. And so Frankie said, just go home and rest. And if I need you, I'll call you. But all the way home, it kept sticking in me. I said, I can't do that. I got to go see him. So I finally go to the hospital at 11 o'clock, go to the front door, and it's locked. So I go back around the back, go in the new emergency room, and they had lost him. Not him, period. I'm talking about lost where he was at. And so I walked around for a while. I finally had to go back to the front of the hospital from the back and go up, and I was with Frankie while we were waiting for him to be situated in ICU. And so finally, by the time I got home, it was like 1 o'clock this morning, and I had to finish up my sermon for this morning. And then, of course, got up at 6 this morning, and this morning again, I said, Lord, it'd be nice just to cover my head up and just keep on sleeping. But then I said, no, Lord, help me adjust my attitude. Whatever I do, let me do it heartily as unto you. God is watching. God is keeping score. God's got everything under his control. He knew yesterday was going to be like that. He already knew that. He knew I'd back into that trash can and knock a hole in my car. He knew all that. He knew Steve was going to be in the hospital. He knew all of this stuff. The question was, would I do it heartily as unto him and not unto man? Question of you. Are you ready to see 2019 explode with potential? Learn to start doing things heartily. Life. Give it all you got. To him. And watch what he'll do. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. I'm going to just ask a question. And you, if you will, I want you to raise your hand, but just raise it quickly and put it right back down. Get ready. When I talked about doing everything heartily as unto the Lord, did it touch your heart? Did it make you think? And could you sit back and think about all the things that you could have given more to, but you pulled back the throttle? You didn't leave it all on the field. You didn't give it all you got. Instead, you gave just enough. Just enough to say, I tried. You gave it just enough to say, I showed up. That should be good enough. If you've had some problems with this and you want to change that while nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, would you just acknowledge it? Stick up that hand and say, you know, I've been guilty of that, but no more. Can you put that hand up quickly? You can put it right back down. I've been guilty of that, but no more. I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to give it everything I got. On my job, in my church, with my family, I'm going to give it all I got. 2019 is going to be a great year because I'm going to participate in it. I'm not going to be a spectator waiting for somebody to shoot me a t-shirt that says I was here. I'm going to be on the field playing. I'm going to give it all I got, and I'm going to leave it all on the field. God's watching. He's the life giver. He'll give you more than you ever imagined if you just give Him all you got. Watch what He'll do with you. Right now, I want you to repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for not playing with all my heart. Help me to realize if I want to see Your hand move strong in my life, I got to give it all I got. Because You gave all You had when You gave Your Son at Calvary. Lord, I give myself wholeheartedly to You. I'm leaving it on the field. I'm giving it all I got. And I'm going to watch You do something great in my life this year. In the name of Jesus, I thank You. And I commit myself to You in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if you got a need, any kind of need, you can come up and be prayed for or pray. Come on up. It's okay. And if you see somebody praying and you don't have to pray for yourself, go pray with them. You say, well, I might not be a minister. It doesn't matter. All of us are ministers. Whether you're known to be a minister or not, it doesn't matter. If you see somebody praying in this altar, get behind them and pray with them. Watch how that will change your life. Does anybody have a special need? Tuesday nights, we're going over the Lord's Prayer. We got one more week, this week coming up, over the Lord's Prayer. And then Sunday, Greg Savitt will not be here, which works out pretty good. God's good. All the time. Amen. When Greg Savitt does come, after that Sunday morning service, we're going to have fellowship over in the fellowship hall with him. Y'all make sure you bring plenty of pork. They won't let him have it at the headquarters, but he loves it. Amen. Amen. All right. Brother Steve, you just missed us in prayer, please.
Father, we just praise You and love You, Lord. We thank You for being right by our side all our lives. Lord, let us put our total trust in You in anything that we do. And Lord, let us give our all to You to bless others. And Lord, we give You the honor and the glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen.